Amen. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, and verse 16. This is the same verse we preached on Anniversary Sunday this year, and so I'm aware of that. And we're going to preach on this verse probably a couple more times this year, and just use it as a way of introduction to teach on a topical subject this morning, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Jeremiah, chapter 6, and verse 16. It's good to see visitors this morning, and I think you'd be very surprised how many visitors are in the auditorium. If I was to have the visitors stand, which I won't, you'd be surprised that you almost outnumber our members this morning. And it's amazing. It really is. There's 15 or 20 families in here that are visiting. We appreciate you very, very much. We do have a large group of people that are vacationing, and we certainly want to be in prayer for our church family as they travel and as they're out. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your love, your grace, and mercy that you so richly extended to us. We thank you that you have given us the truth. We pray, God, that we would continue to walk in truth. And as we think about your promises, as we think about your constant care for us, we pray, God, that we would continue to and if not, depend upon you as we should. We ask this in your name. Amen. Boy, you think about the book of Jeremiah and you go back to this particular text, you think about Jeremiah the prophet who has seen the southern kingdom of Israel, I'm sorry, about the northern kingdom of Israel go into captivity. This great group of the Samaria and the northern part of Israel, that group has gone into captivity. The Assyrian captivity has taken them away. And now him, as well as Isaiah and others, are warning the southern kingdom, hey, this is going to happen to you as well. You're going to go into captivity as well. And in this particular chapter, he's reminding them, hey, get back to the old paths. Get back to the old paths. Get back to the commandments of God. Follow the statutes of God. Follow His laws. Worship in His temple. I mean, we could go on, and we'll cover that at another time. But he just reminded them to stay by the stuff. Stick to the old paths. They had gotten way away. I mean, way away. In fact, if you'll remember, the curtain was drawn back on the temple. They were worshiping creatures in the temple. It was amazing what was going on. They were worshiping the sun out in the outer tabernacle, out in the tent area of the temple grounds. A lot of paganism, a lot of idolatry going on. And Jeremiah was just a great cry to come back to God. Come back to the old paths. I think that parallels today with America. And I think for the majority of churches today, that we as Christians need to remember the old paths. That we need to stay with by the stuff. And if we're not staying by the stuff, we need to get back to the truths found in the Word of God. We need to get back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get back to the church that He established. And stay by the stuff. Stay in those old paths. Listen, what has happened today, and we're living in the end times. I don't know if you believe that or not. I do. I believe the Bible teaches it. That we live in those perilous times. We live in those dangerous times. The Bible talks about that Jesus Christ can return at any moment. But until then, we're going to continue to see things transpire in the world today that's happening right now. Immorality and on and on and on. But we also see an area and the digression of the churches as a whole. Many of them have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. We think about the old past. We think about the doctrines, the teachings in the Word of God and holding on to those doctrines and holding on to those teachings. And what has happened today is many churches have said, well, doctrine is what divides us. Doctrine is what divides the denomination. So let's lay aside the doctrines. Let's lay aside the doctrine. Let's lay aside the teachings of the Word of God so that we can all get along. And I can tell you right now, that's not Bible. That is not old paths teaching. Listen, without doctrine, we have nothing. Without the teachings of the Word of God, we have nothing. So not only have many churches laid aside the doctrines of the Word of God, but many of the churches today, and not all, please understand me, but many churches today have laid aside the teachings of the Word of God in so much as they apply to the individual believer. In other words, when you find preachers today and teachers today who don't mind getting up and teaching and preaching as long as they don't touch on anything that would cause conviction, that would cause someone to feel uncomfortable, They think that you should come walk in the back doors of a church and everybody should just sing kumbaya around a fire and why can't we all get along, right? I was talking to a guy yesterday as we were looking for a watch as my watch broke after 3 or 4 years. I love that watch. And then I found out how much watches have gone up in price. I'm like, my goodness, man, what in the world? I'm going to go back to buying Walmart watches. I wore Walmart watches for 20 years. And then I graduated up to a Citizen, you know, a Citizen watch. And then I bought that one about, four, five, 6 years ago. And I go back to buy another one, and they've doubled in price. I'm not paying that. So, yeah, I almost did. So I went to JCPenney's instead. I bought 2 for 1, you know what I'm saying? Woohoo! But as we were searching for a watch, I was talking to a man, and I was telling him I was a preacher, just witnessing or whatever. And I remember him saying to me, I grew up in church. He said, I grew up in church. I grew up around the Word of God. He said, when I went to church, all I ever did was get beat up on. And there's a lot of people out there who say that. You know, when Mom and Dad dragged me to church as I was a kid, and all that preacher did is get up and just beat on us and beat on us and beat on us. And that may have been the case. Maybe you were in a church or that person was in a church where all the preacher did get up and scream and holler and, point the finger. And we do some of that around here. But the problem has been that instead of churches, finding some middle ground and some pastors and teachers finding some middle ground, in other words, preaching the truth in love, they took the extreme and just don't preach on it at all. The Bible says, Paul said to young Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I want to remind our members, especially this morning, if there is no rebuking or reproving going on, there's no preaching going on. That's what Paul's saying. So there has to be, and there should be, some teaching and preaching from time to time that should step on our toes. And I say to anyone who visits our church, if you visit our church more than 6 weeks, at some point your toes should be stepped on. If they're not, I haven't done my job. I haven't done my job. Now, by that I mean I haven't preached the whole counsel of God. And if we're not careful, we'll pick and choose so we don't make anybody feel bad. I'm telling you, I like hard preaching. I like to go to fellowship meetings where preachers are preaching to me, and I like for them just to lay me open, you know? I like that. I want to feel the conviction. Sometimes if I don't feel the conviction, maybe something's wrong. In fact, if you don't feel conviction, there is something wrong. Remember the old paths. So they've laid aside doctrine, many of these churches. Many have laid aside teaching and preaching on various subjects so that they can shy away from those so nobody feels bad. But these are areas in which we as a church need. We must preach doctrine. Doctrine. Doctrine's important. We must preach standards. We must preach these areas and not shy away from the Word of God. I just want to encourage us as a church, stay in the old paths. And we're not to give in to this politically correct society. So I want to talk today about people who, and there are people struggling, no doubt. I see people all around me who are experiencing a lack of contentment. Many have forsaken the Lord. Many walk away from the churches and kind of do their own thing. They'll say to me, preacher, I just don't like organized religion. By the way, that's contrary to the Word of God. Contrary to the Word of God. Jesus Christ established His church. He established the church. We're to worship. Hebrews chapter 11 says, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That we're to come together and worship together. But that's another message. But many forsaking the churches, many forsaking the Lord. I think about Peter. As he told the Lord, when Jesus said that I am going to have to die and so forth, Peter said, that'll never happen while I'm around. I'm summarizing now. He said, that'll never happen while I'm around. Even to the point that when they came out to the garden there and they approached Jesus and went to take him, that Peter pulled out a sword and tried to whack a guy's head off, but he just cut his ear off, you know. And Jesus picked the ear up, remember, and put it back on. I mean, Peter was whole hog in, right? I mean, he was all at it. But we find Peter just a few hours later denying the Lord Jesus Christ to a group. We see him not only denying, but begin to cuss and to deny the Lord. Many walk away. In fact, the Bible says that he stayed afar off, or he was afar off from the Lord. Many times as Christians, we lack rest. We lack contentment. We lack joy. I want to just key in this morning on Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, a part of the verse that is hardly ever preached. It says, "And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." If you walk in the way, where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Just give you a few areas this morning that we should rest in. Number one, we should rest in the Word of God. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Rest in the Lord. We should rest in the Lord. We should rest in the Word of God. Rest in His truth, if you would. In the truth of the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 16 says, "Delight myself. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." See, many times we as Christians lack contentment. We lack peace. We lack rest because we're no longer placing our trust and resting in the Word of God. We stop reading it. Just honestly. We stop reading it. When we do not delight in the Word, we may end up denying the author of the Word. Peter denied the Word. Let us remember that in order for us to have rest as Christians, we must be in the book. And we must rest in the Word of God, rest in the truth of the Word of God. We also must, number two, rest in the grace of His Word. Not only resting in the truths of His Word. By the way, the Word of God is true from beginning to end. Right? There is no falsehoods in the Word of God. From raising a family to dealing with our finances to the creation of the world and how man came to be, all the Word of God is truth from beginning to end. Amen? I hold in my hand the inspired, inerrant Word of God. True from beginning to end. I can trust this. I can't even trust the Webster's Dictionary sometimes. As you look up definitions, you're like, what? I could trust the Word of God. I can trust that it is true. Then I can also rest in the grace of God and His Word. I can rest in the grace of God. I can rest in the grace of His Word. Listen, if we're to find rest, we must rest in someone. That someone must be reliable, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ? We learn about Him in His Word. As we think about resting in Him, we rest, first off, in His grace. In His grace. It's the Word of God that reminds us of the redeeming grace of God. The redeeming grace of God. Remember that? Remember when you accepted Christ as your Savior? 1 Corinthians 5:10 says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." I remember at the age of 6 years old when I accepted Christ as my Savior. Thankful that I'm saved. I'm glad today that I accepted Christ as my Savior. Because if we're to rest or find acceptance or contentment, it starts with redeeming grace. It starts at the foot of the cross. It starts with going back 2,000 years ago, and there Jesus Christ hung on a cross, shed His blood for me and died for me, was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. Why would the God of the universe send His Son to die for me? Why would the God of the universe send His Son to live a sinless life, to be hung on an old rugged cross, to shed His blood and die for me? Why? Because He loved me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, rest, contentment is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection. I cannot stress it enough this morning. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, that is the starting point. There are so many people out there today, and I know there's some in this auditorium who are seeking contentment. You're seeking to fill the void in your life. There are many who fill it with so many other things. They fill it with a job, or they fill it with, some fill it with various alcohol or drugs. Some fill it with entertainment. Man, we live in an entertainment society who sometimes live from each event to another event to another event. Even to the extent, listen, I enjoyed, I had a vacation here a few weeks ago. If we're not careful, we'll use events in our life or entertainment in our life, or we'll use these getaways as a way to escape and to seemingly find rest. But I'm telling you, true rest is not found in Aransas Pass. True rest is not found in the Bahamas. True rest is not found in Hawaii. True rest is not found in those places. True rest is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful that sometimes we try to fill the void or that lack of contentment in our hearts with the Texas Rangers. I'm telling you, the Texas Rangers will let you down. Amen? The Dallas Cowboys will let you down. Hallelujah. You won't find rest or contentment in entertainment. You won't find rest or contentment in a bottle or a can. You won't find rest or rest and contentment and acceptance in some person here on earth. Find rest and contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first step in that is the redeeming grace of God. And that's found in putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's having a personal relationship with Him. I just encourage you, if you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there's not a point in your life when you can look back and say, at the age of 6, I knelt in my pastor's office and I accepted Christ as my Savior. Or at the age of 11, or at the age of 12, or the age of 30, or the age of 50, or the age of 60. That there's not a time in your life when you can look back and say, I accepted Christ as my Savior on such and such day, in such and such place. Listen this morning, the starting block, the starting point in having rest and contentment in this life, not just the life to come, but in this life, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I beseech you, I beg you, to come to the altar this morning and someone to show you from the Bible how you can have rest in your life, how you can have contentment in your life, how you can have joy. Notice I didn't say you wouldn't have any problems. And that's for TV evangelists. They'll teach you that on TV. I'm not saying you won't have any problems, but I'm telling you, the great and glorious truth is you'll have someone to take you through the problems. You'll have somebody to go with you through the problems, through the difficulties of life. I'm telling you, you can go through difficulties in your life, you can experience struggles, and you can still have joy and contentment as long as you're walking with Jesus, as long as Jesus is by your side. And the thing we must remember as Christians now, as Christians, we must look back and remember that rest is found in the grace of His Word. Rest is found, number one, in the redeeming grace. And number two, is found in the sustaining grace. I'm glad not only that He saved me by His grace, but He also sustains me by His grace. And I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and read a scripture most of you will be familiar with. I'm going to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, where Paul is asking the Lord to remove a thorn in his flesh. Remember, Paul wrote over half the New Testament, and we find that he still had a physical infirmity and probably had something to do with his eyesight that still was not right. And so he comes to God and he asks Him to remove that thorn in his flesh. He said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul said that, you know what, God left, gave me this thorn in the flesh so that I would not be exalted, so that I would not think too highly of myself. "But this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said," and God said unto him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Listen, we must understand this morning that we are weak. We really are. At our very best, we're weak. And many times in this life, we lose that contentment, we lose that rest because we begin to rely upon ourselves. We begin to rely upon our strength. We begin to rely upon me. And listen, when that happens, when that happens and we lay aside the grace that God has given us, and that's, I'm talking about the grace for life, that grace and power in life, it will ruin, it ruins our dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're not depending upon Him, we lose that rest and contentment. I can't encourage you enough as Christians this morning. If you're here and you're saved, listen, we must understand that it's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. Only by the grace. We're just sinners saved by grace. And we're going to fall. We're going to stumble. But thank the Lord as we come to the Lord humbly. We come to Him in a meek and mild spirit, contrite heart, that He will pick us up. Every time. I'm telling you, there are many in this auditorium, as well as myself from time to time, who are resting in something smaller than Jesus Christ. There's a bunch of it out there. We must rest in His grace. We also must rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're not just resting in the truths of the Word. We're not just resting in the grace of the Word, but we're resting in the theme of the Word. And that theme is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is Christocentric. Christ is the center theme of the Bible, the central theme of the Bible. You cut the Bible, you tear a page of any of the Bible, any page that's found in the book of the Bible, it'll bleed the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the central theme. The Lamb of God is the central theme of the Word of God. And when we lose that rest, when we lose that contentment, when we lose that place in which God wants us to experience that life more abundant, some of you may ring a bell. We need to get back to and understand that maybe we got our eyes off Jesus. Look well to the fire of your soul, for it is the tendency of the fire to go out. I don't know, but about every fire I've ever lit eventually goes out. Unless you tend to it. Unless you put some more wood on the fire. See, you came to church this morning for various reasons, but one of the reasons why you came this morning is to put a little more wood on the fire. Right? To put a little more wood on the fire. And each person's different. Each person came here for various reasons. But it might be good if you put another piece of wood on the fire. Tend to the soul. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." Listen, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 10 says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." We need to remember that Jesus Christ should be the center of our life. If we're to have contentment, if we're to have that rest, He must be the central focus of our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Sometimes the path to external success and internal emptiness are the same road. In other words, sometimes as we seek to succeed in this life, sometimes as teachers, Sunday school teachers and others who preach and teach here in the church, sometimes we just continue to give out and give out, and maybe we do have some success, but many times that success comes with internal emptiness. Let's be careful as we seek to go forward in life that we're feeding the inner man, that we continue to put wood on the fire, that we don't forsake, that we don't neglect the inner man. Amen? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Get your cup full. And keep it full. Only keep it full by reading the Word of God, by having a personal relationship with Him, by coming to church, hearing some preaching, hearing some good music. Man, this morning, Christ-honoring music, what a blessing. Keep your cup full. You ought to come to church expecting God to do something in your life. Can you just do that? Some of you came this morning out of duty. You came because it's just the right thing to do. And thank the Lord for you. I'm glad you're here. But listen, we ought to come to church expecting God to do something. We ought to come to church excited about what God is going to do. Not only at church service, but in our lives. We ought to expect Him to do something. We ought to be close enough to Him and have our cup full and ready to go. Ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen? Listen, it's exciting to be a Christian. And many times I see Christians walking around like they've been, you know, sucking on a lemon and this life is just, listen, just put some sugar in it, make some lemonade, right? Lots of sugar. Lots of sugar. Just keep on stirring it. It's exciting. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to be in life, to be close to our Savior, to rely upon the truths of the Word of God, to rely upon the grace of God, to remember the central focus should be Jesus Christ in our lives. And lastly, we should rest in the promises of God. And this is a pretty easy one for all of us, that if we are to have that rest and contentment, we must rely upon the Word of God and its promises. Listen, there are many, many promises in the Word of God. One of them I love that Jesus said. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my what? Burden is light." So many of us are still under the burden of various things in our life. You know, I don't know what it may be this morning. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's financial. I don't know. I always come back to financial because so many people have financial issues. Maybe it's children issues. Maybe it's marital issues. I have no clue. And we're under the burden of those issues. Maybe this morning you've never accepted Christ as Savior and you're under the burden of sin. That is a hard burden to be under. Can I tell you, Jesus will take the burden from you. And He'll put upon you a burden that is easy and light because it's His. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As you know, the greatest feeling, the greatest experience as a Christian in this life after salvation is being right with God. There's nothing like it. Is there? I'm talking about to the church family this morning. I'm talking about you that are here today and maybe some watching. The greatest feeling as a Christian is to be right with God. It's nothing like it to have that personal. Again, y'all know how much I love my dad. And I'm talking about my physical dad. I love him. And I don't know about you, but with my parents, especially with my dad, it was always the best feeling I ever had as a kid was when I got things right with my dad. It's a great feeling. As a Christian, we must rely upon the promises of God and understanding that Jesus Christ did not want you to be under the burden that you're under, whatever it may be. That if you'll lay that burden at His feet, He'll take that for you. So, preacher, that's a hocus-pocus, pie-in-the-sky. Every preacher preaches that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to accomplish that. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Bring it to the altar. You say, "Well, preacher, I've tried that." Bring it again. If you've tried it once, tried it twice, you tried it three times, just keep on going. Just means you, if the burden hadn't been lifted, it means you haven't let it go. Hallelujah. It means you haven't let it go. You're still holding on to it. You've got to bring that burden to the Lord and leave it there. There is great rest found in the Word of God. I'll give you a couple of hints, though, as you come, leaving that and relying upon the promises of God. He's promised to give you rest, promised to supply your needs. We could go through all the promises. This is a quote by A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer said this, "Jesus calls us to His rest, and meekness is His method. The meek man cares not at all who is greater than he, for he has long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort. The rest Christ offers is the rest of meekness, the blessed relief which comes when we accept ourselves for what we are and cease to pretend. It will take some courage at first, but the needed grace will come as we learn that we are sharing this new and easy yoke with the strong Son of God Himself." See, what happens is when you come down, or you go and you're getting your prayer calls at the house, and you come to God in a meek and mild spirit, you come to God with a contrite heart, He'll lift the burden. But you've got to see yourself as weak first. As Paul said, you've got to see yourself as not depending upon yourself, but depending upon God. As long as I am still in the picture, I won't succeed and have rest. I have to rely upon Him. And it is tough. And even strange at first to come to Him and say, "Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I have this burden. You know I have it." By the way, He knows. Come tell Him anyway. "Lord, lift this burden from me. Maybe it's a sin issue. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Whatever it is, come to Him. The rest is found in the promises of God, not in our performance. I want to remind you this again, that rest is not found in performance. I was raised in churches like this to a certain extent, that most of the preachers, when they preach, and I have done this as well, all preachers do, we get in that attitude that if I do this, this, and this, I'll be accepted by God. And that is not true. Acceptance by God is unconditional. As a Christian, acceptance by God, His love is unconditional. Right? So we don't live in a performance-based Christianity. We don't believe in a performance-based Christianity. In other words, if you didn't read your Bible this morning or you didn't read your Bible yesterday, God is not going to strike you with lightning. Now, should you have read your Bible? Yes. Should you have a daily walk? Yes. But God isn't going to strike you with lightning if you don't do it. He may nudge you. He may encourage you. Right? We serve a loving God. And many times we don't find rest and we don't find contentment because we're trying to find rest and contentment in something else. Instead of finding rest and contentment in the promises of God, we're finding rest and contentment in our accomplishments. Well, I have this job. In other words, your identity is found in what you do rather than the Lord Jesus. Some people find rest and they think that rest is found in a conformity to standards. In other words, they think, well, if I dress this way, if I don't do this, and if I do this, then I'll have rest. I'll finally get to that point where I'm content. It won't happen. Rest is not found in conformity to the standard. Rest is not found in trying to prove something to God. You know, making deals with God, if I'll do this, God, if you'll do this, that don't work. Lastly, some people try to find rest in trying to prove something to others. In other words, some people's contentment or rest is found in pleasing someone else. For instance, I want to please my dad. Right? I want my earthly dad, I want to please him. I want him to be proud of me. But I'm not going to find rest in that. Because there's always something else that has to be done. In your job, you may please the man for a little bit, but there'll be something else. There's going to be another project. There's going to be another goal. Right? Some men, some ladies they think they could find rest or contentment in accomplishments. They identify with those accomplishments. They think they can find rest or contentment in dressing a certain way and living a certain way and so forth. Or they think they can just make some deals with God and be content, or maybe just pleasing someone else. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never come to the end of it. You'll never accomplish it. There'll always be something else. But see, you come to the Lord and you can find rest because it's unconditional. It's not relying upon what you do or what you say or who you are. It's all resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and what He accomplished on Calvary when He gave His life for us, when He died for our sins, when He was buried and rose again from the dead 3 days later. See, rest and contentment is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest is not found in accomplishments. I don't know about you today, but I want to find rest, and I want to continue to have that rest. I want to have contentment in life. I want that acceptance. I am one of those guys, if I'm not careful, that I'll meet with a fellow pastor, someone who I look to as a mentor, maybe Brother Eddie Johnson, some of y'all know him, and I will go sit down with him and have a Cracker Barrel, and I will tell him what's going on in the church and seek some advice. But sometimes it's more so my objective for me to ask him and say some things to him for him to pat me on the back. None of y'all ever do that? Bunch of liars. You know, you're just looking for your boss or someone else to say, hey, good job, or whatever the case is. And we need that. In fact, one of the five needs of a man is for his wife to praise him. Just a thought this morning. But you want true praise comes from the Lord. That true contentment is not found in a pastor friend telling me, hey, you're doing a good job. True contentment and rest is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we must rest in the truth of the Word of God. This is truth. This is truth. Are we relying upon this? Do you believe it's true from beginning to end? I do. Absolutely true. I'm resting in the truths found in the Word of God. I'm resting in the grace of the Word of God. And that the grace that God gave me at salvation is still the grace that sustains me even now. I'm glad that it's the grace of God that empowered me and gave me salvation. And it's the grace of God now that empowers me to live the Christian life as I should. To solely please Him. By the way, to glorify Him. Which is my purpose in life. It's to glorify our Lord and Savior. I rest in His truth of the Word. I rest in the grace of God. I rest in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself as the center focus of my life, and I rest in the promises of God. I'm asking you a question this morning. Are you resting in the Lord Jesus this morning? Are you content this morning? Are you experiencing rest? Are you experiencing joy? If not, come to the Lord, and He will give you rest. Rest is found in Him. With head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, no one looking around,